Welcome to the Deep Dive. You're here because, well, you want to get smart fast, understand the core ideas, and skip the fluff.
Exactly.
So today, we're diving into something pretty fundamental in the business world. It's this shift from being product-centric to customer-centric.
That's the one. And it's a bigger shift than it might sound at first. It's really about changing the entire focus.
Okay, so explain that. I mean, businesses always care about customers, don't they? What's fundamentally different here?
That's a fair question. You know, of course, businesses want happy customers, but in the, let's call it the old product-centric way,
okay,
the main focus, the engine, is the product itself. You improve the product, add features, maybe lower the price, assuming that makes it better and people will buy more.
Right, like adding more megapixels to a camera or something.
Precisely. The goal is often tied directly to the product's features, driving immediate interactions or sales. It's very internally focused on the thing itself.
So the energy goes inward towards the product. How does customer-centric flip that?
It flips it outward completely. Customer centricity puts the customer, their needs, their goals, their entire experience with your company right at the center.
The whole experience, like from seeing an ad to using the product to calling support.
Everything, every touch point. The goal isn't just to sell a product. It's to ensure the customer has a positive outcome, a seamless journey. The product becomes, well, a means to an end for the customer.
Okay, now, something one of our sources brought up, and this clicked for me. It distinguished product-centric from product-led growth. They sound similar, but they're not.
Ah, yes. That's a really crucial distinction. People often mix them up. Product-led growth, or PLG, can actually be a strategy that supports customer centricity.
How so?
Well, PLG uses the product itself as the main driver for acquisition, conversion, retention. Think about software you try for free, love it, and then upgrade.
Right. The product sells itself because it's useful.
Exactly. But why is it useful? Ideally, because it was built with a deep understanding of customer needs a customer-centric mindset. A purely product-centric company might just keep adding features, maybe bloating the product.
No.
A product-led company that's also customer-centric designs the product to solve real problems so elegantly that the product experience drives growth. The philosophy behind why you're building it that way is different.
That makes a lot of sense. So, okay, why the big push now? Why are so many companies talking about becoming customer-centric? What are the real benefits?
Well, the sources, especially Sean Van Tine, really hammer this home. It boils down to building a more sustainable, more profitable business in the long run.
Okay, how does focusing on the customer do that?
It builds loyalty, like real loyalty. Customers who feel understood and valued stick around. They buy more over time. That's increased customer lifetime value.
Right, LTV, big metric.
Huge. And they're more likely to recommend you. So you get better retention, higher satisfaction, and often you can even command better pricing because you're providing genuine value, not just a commodity.
So it directly hits the bottom line. It's not just sort of a nice-to-have philosophy.
Not at all. In today's market, with so much choice available instantly, understanding and serving customer needs effectively is, frankly, table stakes for staying competitive. It fuels your success.
Okay. I'm sold on the why. But how? This sounds like it goes deep. It's not just a memo you send out, right?
Oh, absolutely not. It's a major cultural transformation. And Van Tine really stresses this. It has to start with a mindset shift across the board.
Everyone. Like engineering, finance, marketing.
Everyone. Business leaders, design teams, product managers, support staff. They all need to understand why this is important. What are the benefits for the business? And maybe even the costs of not doing it.
So getting that shared understanding is step one.
Step one, definitely. And it requires proactive change management. You can't just declare we're customer-centric now. You need education, maybe mentoring. You need to get people to buy into this new way of thinking before you change how they work day to day.
Laying the groundwork. Okay, yep. Groundwork laid. People are starting to get it. What are the practical steps to actually, you know, operationalize this?
Start small. That's a key recommendation. Don't try to boil the ocean. Pilot programs are great for this.
Like pick one customer journey or one product team.
Exactly. Pick a manageable area. Try out new customer-centric processes. See what works, what doesn't. Learn. Adapt. This gives employees a chance to adjust and, importantly, to take some ownership.
And then you build on the wins?
Yes. Showcase the successes. If a pilot focusing on, say, the onboarding journey leads to much better activation rates, shout about it. Explain how the customer-centric approach, maybe mapping the journey, interviewing users, led to that win.
So people see tangible proof. It's not just abstract theory.
Seeing is believing. It builds momentum.
Makes sense. But how do you stop it from fizzling out? How do you make sure it sticks long term?
That's where governance comes in. You need some structure, maybe establishing a dedicated group like a customer experience council or something similar.
Okay.
This group needs a clear charter, what's their mission, and crucially, measurable objectives. What does success look like in terms of customer outcomes and business results?
Accountability.
Precisely. And alongside that structure, you need tolerance for, well, mistakes. Support trial and error. The first attempt at a new process probably won't be perfect. You need to create a safe space to iterate and refine.
Right, because changing habits and systems is messy.
It always is. Few big changes work perfectly on the first try.
Okay, governance, trial and error. Now, linking this back to the business side, executives often want to see the ROI, the connection to business goals. How do you make that clear?
Yeah, this is critical. Effective communication between, say, design or CX teams and business leaders is paramount. You need to speak the same language. Meaning, identifying opportunities based on business outcomes that can be improved through better customer experience. And then articulating design choices or CX initiatives in terms of how they achieve those business goals.
So instead of saying, we need a better UI, you say, improving this part of the checkout flow could reduce cart abandonment by 10%, boosting revenue by X.
Exactly that. Define clear CX objectives that directly support business objectives. Then develop ways to prioritize work, whether it's fixing a journey pain point or adding a product feature based on its potential impact on those shared goals.
So everyone's pulling in the same direction, using the same criteria.
Alignment is key. When everyone sees how focusing on the customer drives the numbers the business cares about, it becomes much more powerful.
It moves from being a design thing or a marketing thing to a business strategy.
That's the goal.
Now, is this something you achieve? Like, you implement it, check the box, and you're done. Or is it different?
Oh, definitely not a check-the-box exercise, one of the sources puts it bluntly. There's no such thing as done.
Right. Why not?
Because customers change. Their expectations evolve constantly. Think about how technology shifts what people expect in terms of speed, personalization, convenience. What wowed customers 5 years ago might be baseline expectation today.
Good point. Like same-day delivery or instant chat support.
Exactly. So customer centricity demands ongoing work. Continuous iteration on your understanding of the customer, refining your processes, tackling new challenges as they emerge, and replicating what works across the organization. It's a constant cycle.
A moving target, then. And it was interesting that one source mentioned this often happens in pockets of success first. It doesn't just switch on everywhere at once.
That's a very realistic observation. In big companies especially, change is rarely uniform. You'll have certain teams, maybe product lines or departments, that really embrace this and run with it, showing great results.
While others lag behind.
It can happen. The real challenge and the opportunity is to nurture those successful pockets. Learn from them. Figure out how to foster that experimentation and grow that customer-centric muscle across the entire organization. Spread the expertise.
So it's about cultivating it, not just mandating it.
Absolutely. Cultivating, supporting, and scaling the successes.
Okay. So wrapping this up for our listeners who joined us for this deep dive, we've covered quite a bit.
We have.
The core difference, really, between putting the product first versus putting the customer's entire experience and goals first.
Uh-huh. The fundamental mindset shift.
And the why, the compelling benefits like loyalty, LTV, and ultimately a healthier bottom line.
The business case, absolutely.
And then the how, those actionable steps from changing the culture and mindset.
To starting small with pilots, setting up a governance, speaking the language of business outcomes.
And remembering, it's never truly done. It's an ongoing journey.
That continuous evolution piece is so important.
So building on that idea of constant evolution, maybe a final thought for people to chew on. Considering how rapidly customer needs do change,
yeah.
How can we as individuals, whatever our job is, start thinking and acting in a more customer-centric way right now? Not waiting for some big corporate program, but in our daily work. How do we get better at anticipating those shifts?
That's a great takeaway question. How do you embed that perspective proactively, regardless of your role? That's really where the change begins, isn't it, with each person?